All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, thank you, Beverly. If you have your Bibles, find, if you would, the book of 1 John. 1 John is located in the New Testament. It's located in the back of your Bible. I pray that everybody has a Bible. If not, there should be a black hardcover book in the pew in front of you. You can feel free to pick it up and find that passage if you would, please. And I want to speak to you tonight on a subject that I believe will be tremendous in your instruction, tremendous in your understanding. And I do believe a subject that we need to spend some time on in our church and in our lives as the day is approaching and in the day in which we live in. I preached to you this morning in closing the book of Romans, how the Apostle Paul, writing to that church, was warning and guarding that church against the cults that were going to be coming in, the false deceivers, those that would be coming in the garb and in the costume of religion, but were not true followers or true worshipers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They came in under the garb of religion, but their own belly was their God, their own self-gratification, their own desires. They have a Christ, and the cults do have a Christ. But I promise you that the Christ of the cults would not be the Christ of the Word of God. They have a Bible, but their Bible is not our Bible. Their Bible comes from their own brain, comes from their own speeches, their own words, their own intellect, comes from what I would consider to be the delusions of Satan himself, as he puts within their own thought processes. So there are cults and deceivers and false teachers that are looking to infiltrate churches. It was true all the way back in the beginning. It's still true today. We named some of those this morning, and we saw how the Christ that they present to the world, their Christ, is different from the true and living God. And so the Bible understood, and the Spirit of God understood, that we would go through these things, that we would be facing these things. And so 1 John, written by the Apostle John, is a marvelous book of instruction to the believer in Christ. This book was written to the child of God. In the fourth chapter of the book, we have some warning and some instruction for the child of God when it comes to the area, of spirits. And what we're talking about here are real spirits. We're not talking about fairy tales. We're not talking about wishing upon a star. We're not talking about stories. We're talking about a very real, a very true, a very deceitful and devilish spirits that do exist in the world today. These would not be the same spirit of truth, the spirit of the Holy Spirit. Well, you will find that these are the spirit of Antichrist. And we are instructed as believers to try the spirits. Pick up, if you would, in verse number 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. The word spirit is very spiritual. The word spirit seems like a simple word. It almost seems like a trustworthy word. If it is spiritual in nature, then it must be trustworthy. But the Apostle John, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is teaching the church that we are not to believe every spirit. He goes on and he says, but try the spirits, test the spirits, prove the spirits. What am I proving, Pastor? Whether they are of, say his name, God. All right. Now, it is imperative that your eyes go from me to the Bible, me to the Bible, me to the Bible, almost like a ping pong kind of deal. All right. So if John is writing to the church and he says, now, church, don't believe every spirit that comes about. Try them. What am I trying them for, Pastor? What am I proving them about? I'm trying and I'm proving them whether they be of God. How many spirits does God have? One spirit. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. So the spirits that are out here, that he's talking about, those need to be tried to see if they are of God. Because, verse number one, many false prophets are gone out into the world. Pick up with verse number three, and it's going to show you and define for us the other spirits that are in the world, who they belong to. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of, say his name, Antichrist. Now, when you and I hear the word Antichrist, our understanding immediately goes to the future. We know that after the rapture of the church, when the tribulation comes on, that the man of sin, the man of perdition, he will be revealed. This will be a man that will be demon possessed. This will be a man that will be influenced under demonic powers. This will be a man who has all of the persuasion and elegance and human ability that he could possess, magnified by a demonic power. We know that he will sign a peace treaty with the nation of Israel, break the peace treaty. We know that the Antichrist will move in under the influence of the Spirit of God into the temple and declare himself to be God, and then will unleash a fury against the nation of Israel. But we also understand, praise the Lord, that Jesus will come back and deal with him, and he will be defeated. But don't think that the Antichrist per se is all future, because he receives his enablement from a demonic power. And we understand that Lucifer was created. We understand that he was kicked out of heaven. We understand that he is the devil, the serpent, the old dragon. We understand that still today enabling people under his influence, and that spirit of Antichrist. Now, it will be magnified in that one person, but that spirit is still alive here on the earth and working very effectively. And so he says, the spirit of Antichrist, at the end of verse number three, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it where, class? In the world. Go to 2 John, which is the next letter over, and look at verse number six. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments, that as ye have... This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and say it, Antichrist. All right? So here again, now look at the instruction John gives in verse number eight. Look to yourselves, warning again, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Don't be deceived by the spirit of Antichrist. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not who? So he's saying, now the spirit of Antichrist will not abide in the doctrine of Christ. And if you don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, the word of Christ, then you will not, you're not part of God, or you're not of God. Look at it, he says, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, verse number nine, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, what doctrine? The doctrine of Christ. Receive him not into your what? House. Now I said, I want you to look up this way just a second. We need to be on guard in our homes for the spirit of Antichrist. Pastor, how would the spirit of Antichrist infiltrate our homes? Well, we live in a multimedia day and age. Now, with all of the influence that can come into your home, it's your job, mom and dad, to make sure that we are guarding against the spirit of Antichrist coming in. I mentioned that one television show today, Long Island Medium. If you've seen that on television, or you know that that's being displayed there, that is a full frontal display of the spirit of Antichrist. That is not a game to be tributed with. That is not something you can just watch and then say, those people are nuts. My friend, I would not let that come into my home. You better be on guard about that. I'm careful about what comes in in the spirit of Antichrist. John says, now if a man comes into your house and he denies the doctrine of Christ or comes into your life, don't let him in your home. So why would I let anything in my home that carries with it the spirit of Antichrist? And let me tell you something. The devil understands the power of media. He knows what he is doing. All the vampire movies, all of the demon-possessed movies, all of the demonic power movies, that's not just some man sitting in his room that came up with a good idea. That is the absolute influence of the spirit of Antichrist. Can I prove that to you? How many came to watch Courageous Friday night? That was a movie that didn't just come from some man's idea. That movie has God's power. And so the spirit of Christ moved in a way to allow drama to present the doctrine of Christ, the same way the spirit of Antichrist moves to present other things. He does it through music. He does it through media. He'll do it through drugs. Listen, you let drugs into your home. Do you know that drugs is the word pharmakia? Do you know in the Bible the word pharmakia is translated witchcraft? Do you understand that the spirit of Antichrist is in drugs? You understand that? I've talked with many people that struggle with demon possession or have been demon possessed. And you know what they tell me? It began with smoking marijuana. So I know our nation wants to medically make it okay for people to smoke marijuana, but I'm telling you, there are men and women that were influenced to demon possession because they began marijuana. If you don't believe me, then you need to believe me. So how do I let this? If I don't let a man come in with it, I better be careful about what comes in my home. Look, if you would, in verse number 10. Not only do I not receive him into my house, neither bid him Godspeed. I don't even encourage him with anything that's godly. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. All right, come back to 1 John chapter number 4. So I don't think that you being Bible people and we loving the Word of God, I would hope that you would agree by saying amen, that we understand that the spirit of Antichrist is at work in our world. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. All right, so we need to have some understanding and be able to try the spirits. So how does the spirit affect us? Well, through impression, through teaching, through doctrine, through media. He's constantly at work, are these false spirits trying to infiltrate our lives, trying to infiltrate the church. How, Pastor, am I able to detect whether it is the Spirit of God or the spirit of Antichrist? How am I able to try these spirits? How do I know what I can believe, who I can believe, and how do I know what I can read, what I can trust, and where to go? All right? Well, the Bible never gives us direction that it doesn't also provide for us. So look, if you would, at verse number 2, 1 John chapter 4. Hereby, what's the next word? Know, K-N-O-W. Know ye the Spirit of God. So you can recognize the difference between the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Antichrist. And the recording and the difference is listed throughout the chapter. And most of it is tied to the person of Jesus Christ. And so let me give you a few ways to test or try the spirits. All right, number one, does the spirit that we're testing and trying, does it confess the divinity and humanity of Jesus Christ? The deity and humanity of Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, in 1 John chapter number 2, chapter 4, verse number 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of what? All right, now you need to dissect this verse very carefully. Look at verse number 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Look, we'll stop right here. Actually, look at verse number 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Look at verse number 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. The devil despises the deity and humanity of Jesus Christ. He hates the God-man. And any spirit, any teaching, any church, any message, any book, any television show, any commentator, any fool who denies the deity of Christ and the humanity of Christ is of the spirit of Antichrist. Look, if you would, at verse number 2. It says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come. See, the birth of Christ was not the beginning of Jesus. Jesus is eternal. He is the I am. Jesus never had a beginning and he will never have an ending. He is eternal God. It wasn't where Christ was just all of a sudden born. And unlike the Mormons, he wasn't created. He wasn't created. He is co-equal, God the Son, and he's always been. So a spirit that says, well, Jesus Christ just came to the earth and he was some star, or he was some angel, or he was this, and he was birthed upon the earth into existence, is a spirit of Antichrist. The Bible says he came. If you're coming from somewhere, that must mean you've existed. So Jesus Christ is come. Verse number 9. It was manifested in this, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son. God sent the Son. So any spirit that denies the deity of Jesus Christ cannot be the spirit of God. He was not just a good man. He was not just a prophet. He's not just another God. He is God. All right. Now, on the flip side of that, he says in verse number 2, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So any spirit, teaching, test, preacher that denies that Jesus, the humanity part of Christ, while he walked on this earth, if they deny his humanity, they also are of the spirit of Antichrist. He did become a man. Hold your hand here in John, 1 John, and go to the Gospel of John. Let's just look at John chapter 1. This is important. This is very important. John 1, verse 1. We'll read about 12 verses here. I'll read them. I want you to look at it with me. I want you to read silently. John chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, that is Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Understand, Jesus is the creator of all things. In verse number 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, and the Word was made, say it class, flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is the God-man. 100% God, 100% man. Left his home in heaven to become a man. Had to become a man to die on the cross. Any spirit, any teaching, any religion, any paper, any preacher, any friend that denies the deity and humanity of Jesus Christ is under the influence of the spirit of Antichrist, and you had better be careful. Number one, does it confess the true divinity or humanity and humanity of Jesus Christ? Number two, does the spirit confess the vicarious atonement of Jesus Christ? Look, if you would, at verse number 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, the payment, the sacrifice, the substitute for our sins. That word propitiation means partnering through another. Look, if you would, at verse number 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The spirit of Antichrist hates the atonement of Jesus Christ. He wants to deny the vicarious atonement. He wants to deny the salvation that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. He wants to deny that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life that there is to mankind, and the only hope that man has. And so as you're listening and you're trying the spirits and you're trying what's being heard, anything that denies the vicarious atonement of Jesus is the spirit of Antichrist. What do you mean by that, Pastor? That means anything that makes fun of that cross or denies the power of the blood of Jesus is of the spirit of Antichrist. Anything that says that Jesus didn't, his blood is not sufficient to cover our sin. Anything that threatens him dying on the cross, his complete death. For the wage of sin is what? So anytime you hear anybody say, well, I'm not sure Jesus really died on the cross, you know they're under the influence of the spirit of Antichrist. Same way anybody that ever says, well, I'm not sure that he really resurrected from the dead, that's the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist wants to deny the vicarious atonement of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because the vicarious atonement of Jesus is evidence that he is our great God and our great Savior. So if they can say he's just a man, and they can say there's no power in his blood, and if they can say there's no truth in his resurrection, then he's not God, he's just a man. He's not the Savior, he's just a martyr. So in testing and trying the spirits, you want to make sure, is the deity of Christ being elevated? The humanity of Christ being understood? Is the vicarious atonement of Jesus being upheld? Number four, look if you would at verse number four. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the what? All right, so when I'm testing the spirit to see if it is of God or not, I need to see, does this spirit lend or have a bent toward worldliness? Look, if you would, at verse number five. They that are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Verse number 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in, say that word, this world. This world. See, we're not to love the world nor the things of the world. We're told that in 1 John chapter number 2. But I got news for you. When I got saved, I became a citizen of heaven. Did you say amen? So Jesus told us in John 17 that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Well, how do you make sense of that, Pastor? Well, that means I'm not under the authority as far as under the leadership of a society that wants to live apart from God. I don't want to live apart from God. He lives within me, and I want to live under his obedience and his leadership. So the world has a bent and a drive toward and led by the spirit of Antichrist, because the Bible says, Jesus said, if we're not saved, we are of our father who? The devil. And so they have a bent toward that. So when I'm testing or trying a spirit, that spirit, if it brings me or bends me or leads me toward worldliness, I know that is not the Spirit of God. That is the spirit of Antichrist. If that spirit leads me to the position of righteousness and the reality of Christ in this world, then I know that's the Spirit of God. And so when you hear a preacher or you watch something or you test the Spirit and it seems like the Spirit is directing you toward the love of the world, you know that Spirit cannot be of God. By the way, the last thing the world needs is worldly Christians. It's the last thing they need. Look, if you would, 1 John chapter 2, come to verse number 15. Love not the, say it. Somebody quote for me John 3:16. So love the, okay, stop. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world. 1 John 2, love not the world. Pastor, that must be a mistake there, and they have contrasted themselves, and that's an error. No, it's not. In John 3:16, God so loved the world, he's talking about those of us that were lost sinners in the world. He's talking about humanity. He's talking about people that he sent his son to die for our sin. In 1 John 15, he's talking about a societal direction or a philosophy of life. That word world there means living life without God in it. A society apart from God. A philosophy that has no room for God. And we're told not to love that philosophy. Listen, the world's philosophy is all about elevating self. It's all about living that direction. So if something spiritual comes into our life and directs us toward the satisfaction of our flesh and directs us toward a thought process apart from holiness, righteousness, the foundation of God's word, toward self-exaltation, toward man being good, humanism, some kind of, you know, that's not the Spirit of God. That's the spirit of Antichrist. By the way, all the devil wants is the glory that belongs to Jesus. That's what he's been trying to get the whole time. He said, I'm going to tear you down and I'm going to be exalted above. And so he's still wanting that exaltation over the Lord. He's still wanting that position of pride. And so a spirit that comes to exalt man, my friend, that's not the Spirit of God. God's not interested in man being exalted. There's no one more exalted than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we got to be recognized that. So when I'm trying the Spirit, does it confess the true humanity of Christ? Had to be a man or we would not have salvation. Does it confess the true divinity of Jesus? He had to be God or there would be no salvation. Does it confess the vicarious atonement for the shed blood of Christ, for the partners or the payment that he did? Does it lean toward worldliness? Look at verse number 6, 1 John chapter 4. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth who? Us. Now, what's the apostle talking about there? He's talking about that revealed word of God that God has given to them. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Heareth not what? Heareth not God's word. That's what the apostles did. They brought to us God's word. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So if I'm testing or trying the Spirit, one will take me toward God's word. One will take me away from God's word. One will bring me under the agreement of other Christians, and one will take me away from the agreement of Bible Christians. One brings tremendous unity around God's word. One brings tremendous selfishness around the flesh and desires of ourselves. And so as I'm testing the spirits, I'm wanting to know how the spirit responds to God's word. How do others agree with this spirit? Is there unity in this? Is there understanding in this? Is there agreement here? And so how does it spiritually minded affect this? So what does it do in the hearing of God's word? And by the way, the devil knows God's word. He probably knows it better than you and I. He hates God's word. Why? Because God's word is who? It's Jesus. He hates it. He's fighting to get out from under it. But it's forever settled. It's all powerful. It's eternal. It's the authority of God. But the spirit of Antichrist will be a spirit that will take you away from God's word. That's why when a man filled with the Spirit of God or other Christians that walk with God see that Spirit in your life or see a direction of you going away from God's Word, that's why we approach you in love and say, listen, you're not headed the right direction. You would be amazed at how many times I hear people tell me, I believe I'm following God in this manner. And I will tell them, you're following something against God's Word and it cannot be God. God will never go against His Word. He won't. He won't do it. All right. Quickly. And I guess I'll wrap up here with the last one here. And it goes along with the Spirit of God. Look at verse number 6. Hereby we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of, say it, truth, and the spirit of error. Does the spirit that I am trying, does it line up with the teaching of God's Holy Spirit? Is it aligned with what the Spirit of God is responsibility is? Look, if you would, in verse number 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. A born-again, Bible-believing Christian, a saved man or woman, possesses the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is given to us, and the Spirit of God has a work and a responsibility. He's the paraclete. He's the comforter. He's the one that Jesus said would come. Now go to John chapter 14 and let me close the lesson in John 14 and in John 16. I want you to read about what the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of God, what His responsibilities are, so you can identify Him. And a spirit that lines up against those cannot be the Spirit of God. They must be the spirit of Antichrist. John 14, look if you would, in verse number 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, this is Jesus speaking, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of what class? Truth. Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Look, if you would, at verse number 26, as it goes on to describe the Comforter. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Now, let me explain something to you. There might be many spirits that are named Jesus. You got to be careful about this. The devil is an imitator. He's a copier. He is a, what do you call that when you make a money and it's not the right money? Yeah, you've done that. Counterfeiter. He's a counterfeiter. He will steal names. Just because it comes with a name Jesus doesn't mean it's the Jesus of the Bible. I don't know if you know this or not, but in Philippians chapter, that first verse there, Philippians chapter 2, it was that the Father gave Him the name Lord. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful about just a Jesus, and be careful about Christ. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, in verse number 26 of John 14. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Spirit of God will bring to our remembrance whose words? Jesus' words. So how do I test and know the Spirit, Pastor? Well, the Spirit of God will bring to your mind and your remembrance the Word of God. He comes in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Spirit of Antichrist will never bring your understanding or your thoughts to the Word of God in a proper contextual manner. He may twist some things. And look at verse number 27. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." All right? So that's what the Spirit of God does. Look at verse number, or chapter 16 of the Gospel of John, and look, if you would, at verse number 13. Here is more teaching on the Spirit of truth. "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So the Spirit of God is not free to speak what he wants to speak. The Spirit of God is only able to speak what God has given him, taught him to speak. He speaks of God himself. He is God. And so he comes, he guides us into all truth. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Verse 14, he shall glorify who? Me. One of the greatest ways you can test and try the Spirit is this: does that Spirit glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, or does it deny the Lord Jesus Christ? So if something presents itself to you and it seems to be spiritual, it seems to be religious, it seems to be of God, it seems to be in a manner that you're thinking about trusting it, you need to know, does it glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? Keep reading, if you would, in verse 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father, that on the return of Christ. All right, let me summarize and I'll let you go. But the best way to test and prove the spirits is the Bible way. And 1 John chapter 4 gives us ways to do that. First thing you got to understand is the Spirit of God will always confirm the true humanity of Jesus Christ. Any spirit that denies his humanity is the spirit of Antichrist. Any spirit that denies his deity is the spirit of Antichrist. Any religion that says that Jesus is not God is Antichrist religion. Any religion that denies that he is, that he was eternal or is eternal, those are of the spirit of Antichrist. Any spirit that does not confess the vicarious atonement of the precious blood of Jesus Christ is the spirit of Antichrist, according to 1 John chapter 4. Any spirit that lends toward worldliness is the spirit of Antichrist. Any spirit that takes me away from the word of God is the spirit of Antichrist. Any spirit that ministers to me in a way that does not glorify the Lord Jesus is not the true Holy Spirit of God. My friends, it is imperative that God's people learn to test and try the spirits. And God's people say, I have had some experience dealing with in the area of spirits. And I want you to know it's a reality. Nothing is innocent. You remember the Smurfs? How many watched the Smurfs? When I was a kid, we used to try to watch the Smurfs. And my dad, you remember He-Man, Master of the Universe? He-Man and the Smurfs, we weren't allowed to watch those. Pastor, come on. He-Man and the Smurfs, how innocent is that? Well, let me tell you something. It's not the least bit innocent. There, anything, whether it's a cartoon figure or it is a devilish figure, has the ability to be used in a way that could be dangerous and destructive to our homes. And we had better start testing and trying the things. Well, it's just a little marijuana my kid is smoking. He's opening his life to demon possession. Did you hear James Dobson on the radio? He interviewed Ted Bundy. They replayed that interview. Ted Bundy killed at least 100 women, raped them, and brutally murdered them. Ted Bundy said that in the process of doing that, I would be controlled by something that I could not control. There was a force within me. Ted Bundy grew up in a Christian home. Ted Bundy said, I first was introduced to demonism through soft pornography. Soft pornography took me to hard pornography. Hard pornography took me to violent pornography. And he said, when you mix that and demonics, and he said, and he gave a number, women I killed, I did it half drunk. don't tell me that things are innocent. Don't tell me that we can just handle that. We better be understood. There is an agenda, and Satan is still trying to destroy Christ. He will try to destroy us and the church and use anything he can. We had better be on guard. You think you if you're involved in something like that and you think it's innocent, it's not innocent. And we need to have a correct mindset about that. Music, you had better understand that Lucifer was created and was given charge over what in heaven? Music. Have you ever stopped to listen to what's popular on the radio today? The murder, the immorality, the recognition of Satan. I don't normally do all this, but Mom and Dad, I'm your pastor and I love you forever, but you are foolish if you think your kid can pump in his ears the world's music and not be affected by the spirit of Antichrist. We have lost our spiritual mind. And we think, well, it's just music. No, it is an agenda. Well, my kid has met some kids and now he's got some friends and they're hanging out. You better know who your friends, your kids are hanging out with. People dress in a manner and do things to their body and present their bodies in a way that magnify what's going on the inside. Do you understand that the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel cut themselves? People come to me and they say, Pastor, my kid's cutting themselves. Your kid is being influenced in demonic behavior. You better wake up. Pastor, my kid wants to pierce themselves everywhere. That's demonic behavior. Well, no, it's just the fad. Yeah. Who's the prince and power of the air? Satan is. Listen, it's time we take some inventory of what we're doing. And if you don't think that the spirit of Antichrist wants to influence your home, your life, and your children, then you are more than naive. I think you are respectfully negligent. I don't want that to happen on my watch. We need to learn how to test the spirits. And God's people said, amen. You can do what you want to with that. But the thing is, this is the eternal word of God. It's never, ever wrong. All right, let's protect our homes, protect our kids, protect our families. Watch out for that. Shall we pray?